So this is our last message in the Stepping Into Rest series. If you're visiting or if you've been away, I want to encourage you to please take the time to listen to the two previous messages. Rest is a big deal in God. And I also want to encourage you, don't treat sermons like an Instagram reel. You know, I understand you're bombarded with information all day, but stop. Go home and revisit a sermon. Relook at it. Pray it through. It's meant to help you. I prayed this week a lot. I said, God, give me words that help the people. And today's message is kind of heavy. You know, but it's a heavy that's good for all of us, right? How many want the good word of God? Amen. Amen. So listen, so the first week we explained God's rest, and when we explained God's rest, and you'll see in a moment why we titled this series Stepping Into Rest. But here's the definition of rest. Rest is a state of blessing. Can we put that up? Rest is a state of blessing and calm. Somebody say blessing and calm. The rest of God is like that. It's blessing and calm. God's people should be on the inside calm. Cálmate, my father used to say. Right? Like, chill. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Navigating all sorts of things. Blessing and calm. A state of rest. Rest in the biblical sense. I'm talking about God's rest. The world cannot give this to you. Going on vacation won't do it for you. You see? A state of blessing and calm that makes you trust in your salvation. So that you're like, Jesus saved me. And I may not be perfect. But I'm going to heaven. And he loves me. And he's here to help me. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but he is with me. Like all of those things are flowing inside of you. You trust in your salvation, and then you live in expectation. Amen. You're like, God's going to do something good this week. God's got great things for us in 2026. How many would say amen? We believe that. And we rest in it. We rest in it. So last week, we talked about the fact that, I'm going to put this up in a moment, but last week we talked about the fact that when there was a fall in the Garden of Eden, when mankind, when Adam and Eve fell, and everything fell, okay, it created what we're going to call the spectrum of struggle. Okay, throw that up for me real quick. This is a little bit of a recap, but this speaks to today's message. So Adam and Eve choose to disobey God. What was that? That was a moment of independence. The independence of man is what started all the chaos. So they chose to say, I don't need to follow God. I'm smarter than God. I know better than God. Or I don't really care about what God says. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And then disaster strikes. Now what that, now right simultaneously with that moment, when they were impacted by their sin, the first thing that they felt was the farthest thing from the truth. And you know what that was? It's like, now God is going to reject me. That's what sin does. Sin naturally separates you from God. Okay? So they acted independently. It launched this feeling like God will now reject me. And from that moment on, from that second until we see Jesus face to face, I'm telling you right now, whatever is going on in your life, it's within the spectrum. It's one side or the other. Okay? And when the Word of God works in your life, which we're going to read in a second, the Word of God, in a way, is coming through one of these angles. Remember, Jesus, Tim Keller said it this way, Jesus, he disturbs the comfortable and he comforts the disturbed. Right? That's the way Jesus is. So sometimes Jesus is saying, come on, let me comfort you, let me help you. But another time Jesus is saying, let me deal with your independence. Because your independence will wreck your life. It will destroy everything. It started destruction in the Garden of Eden, and it will keep on destroying. It's a universal principle. How many get what we're talking about here? So before we take this down, and then I'm going to read the text to you, I got something to say to you that's very, very important. Okay? Because between independence and rejection, and now the Word of God comes, and it works beneath the surface because nobody can see the spirit of rejection on you per se. I mean, somebody can tell perhaps, but what I'm saying is, like, you just look like you. You look great today, right? So, but nobody can see what's really going on inside of you, but the Holy Spirit sees, the Word of God sees. That's right. Amen. So nobody can see, you can talk nice, but nobody can see if you're really operating in the spirit of independence. Nobody can see that. The Word of God comes and it works beneath the surface. So we covered this last week, and we're going to touch on it again. But last week we focused on the Word of God dealing with the spirit of rejection in people's lives. And if you were here last week or you weren't, can I tell you something? If you feel like God doesn't want you in the room, if you feel like you're not wanted, you're not worthy, you're not this, you're not that, and you live in that world, let the Holy Spirit heal you, because He does want you. He does want you in the room. He does love you. He does have a plan for you. Let the Holy Spirit minister to that. Don't just like one and done. Keep working in that space. Amen. But before I read the text, let me say this. Okay, and I got a lot to say, and we're going to take communion. I need the Lord's help today. So I need the Lord's help anytime I open the Bible to read, to share it and to read it, but you get what I mean. So look, there's three kind of ways that you could live. You can live a disobedient life. Just because you come to church doesn't mean you're obeying God, right? I mean, that's other churches, everybody here. No, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So you can live a disobedient life, or you can live a compliant life. A compliant life means that you, for the most part, you honor God's word and you do what the Bible says, okay? Or you can live a surrendered life. You see, and I'm telling you right now, the Lord has called me to call you to surrender. And I believe that that's what the Bible really teaches. The Bible teaches that we should surrender to Christ. And some people live under the blessing of compliance to Christ, which is great. It's better to be more compliant than non-compliant, just disobedient and rebellious. But today I'm calling you to something deeper. Because the Word of God does. You understand? And so God works beneath the surface at the gut level, at the heart level, where only you can really respond to God. And it has nothing to do with people. It's you and the Holy Spirit today. I mean, it's every day. But that's the facts. You know, and today God wants to help us to deeply get into our hearts. Whenever you take communion, you got to get into your heart. Because when we come to communion, at the end of this, there will be an opportunity to repent. You'll see in a moment. And I'm going to tell you right now, the history of the kingdom of God is built on the back of repentance. Yes.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
The question is, will we be the generation? Will we be the church that repents? Will we be the kind of people that surrender? I pray for grace that God will help us to be that. So let me pray even before I read the word. Father, we thank you. Oh, Lord, it's so good to worship you and to say that you reign and to honor you. You reign above it all. And I pray that you would reign above our lives. And I pray, God, for your help. Give me words that help. And God, I pray that even our online family, Lord, our family in Philadelphia, Lord, God, that we would be people that love you and serve you. And you know what that means, God. So show us what you mean. I pray that each family, each heart would know exactly what you mean and what surrender looks like to you for them. So Holy Spirit, work today and help us today. I pray for your grace today by your mighty power. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, help us, Lord. Give us true biblical rest over our independence.
Yes, Lord.
That's what we start the moment with. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. The title of the message is Rest Over Independence. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're looking at. And let's go to the scriptures, Hebrews chapter 4. It says, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. All of those pictures in the Old Testament were for us. These were pictures for us. Their promised land was more than anything a picture for us now in Christ. We are called to rest in Christ. It says, God would not have spoken of another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters, everyone, two words, God's rest. We're talking about stepping into God's rest. What does he have for your 2026? I'm telling you right now, he has rest for you. And if you will rest in him, he will bless you. He will make you more than a conqueror. He will free you. He will give you victory. He will use you. But it starts by resting in him.
Amen.
For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works.
Yeah.
Not Al Toledo's efforts. It's what Christ has done. Works just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. When we don't choose God's rest, we bend towards disobedience because we're still looking for rest. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Leave this here for 1 second. Why do we say God works beneath the surface? Here it is. Joint and marrow. Nobody can see your joint and marrow. Soul and spirit. Nobody can see that. Nobody can see your attitude, although if you have attitude, it shows. But nobody can see those things. The word of God works beneath the surface. Come on, somebody say, work in me, Lord. God works beneath the surface. God reaches places that no human being can reach. The Holy Spirit can reach even places that you don't understand. That's what the Holy Spirit is able to do. And that's why you should read your Bible every day. Because when you read your Bible, you are inviting the Holy Spirit into those deep places. Say, Lord, work in me. See, he works beneath the surface a little bit more. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight anyway. You know, you can fool everybody, but you can't fool the Lord. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess, for we do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weakness. When he comes to us, he comes with compassion. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet he did not sin. He won the victory that we could not win. Let us therefore approach God's throne of grace with confidence. If you go to God honestly, he will receive you. Right? No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, he will receive you. He will give you rest today. Hallelujah. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So look, this is a very deep, deep passage of scripture. Okay, and it's saying that God wants to reach in. If you're dealing with rejection, your father rejected you, your mother rejected you, he wants to give you rest. You see? But if you're battling with independence, he's got to set you free. You need to be set free from independence. And remember, God wants to heal, God wants to help. But he never does it without his holiness. When he heals and when he helps, he brings his holy nature to accomplish it. So you have to line up with God, and independence is unholy.
Yes.
So what does independence mean? Very quickly, I'm going to race through this. Independence means to be governed by the law of self. It's the presumption of pride. The Bible says pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Okay, so as a believer, right, you accept Jesus, you have to be mindful of the fact that you have a sinful nature. I have a sinful nature. You understand? Being a pastor doesn't make me a man who doesn't have a sinful nature. If I don't submit to God, I'll mess it all up. I have to give up my independence, but not just pastors, everybody. We just have to give up our independence. That's what we're talking about here. And look at how Thomas Manton put this, okay? He said, watch over yourself with a holy self-suspicion. Self-suspicion. Do you suspect yourself? Because sin still lives within you and can easily trip you up, so consider your ways. Okay? So we live in a world where, look, independence is the way to be. Independence is the way to be. Like there was a time that you could tell an independent spirit, because there was a time that respect and honor and submission, you know, there was a time where saying yes, sir, was the norm. You know, there was a time like think about the way our politicians talk now. They use four-letter words. Their mouths are like garbage cans. I say that respectfully. But there was a, like everything has changed, you know. But just because the world has gotten more sinful doesn't mean that we should. Right? That we don't walk in independence. We're called to walk in dependence. So here's one of the ways. Let's just start the journey now. Here's one of the ways that you know. If you battle with an independent spirit, I'll tell you right now, if you don't have any holy suspicion of yourself, you got issues. Right? So, practical things. Practical things. You know, I remember somebody got criticized because they said, I don't go to lunch. I'm a married man. I don't go to lunch with another woman and nobody else is there, you know, or I won't drive in a car, you know, with another woman that's not my wife. It's just us alone. And they're like, oh, come on, get over that, right? No, you get over it. I'm going to honor God. Listen, the Bible says, make no room for the flesh. Right? You know, avoid every appearance of evil. You see, but that's God's word. That makes sense to someone who wants to submit to God. You say that in the world, they'll mock you, they'll make fun of you, but so what? You know, you're not going to answer to those people on that day. You're going to answer to Jesus. You see? So we do have to consider our ways. And if there's no holy suspicion, I'm telling you right now. So we have to, let me just say this. So here's the interesting thing I've seen in regards to, and I, remember, there's disobedience, there's compliance, right? And then there's surrender. So don't make this just about disobedience and compliance. Make it about surrender too. You see? So I've seen this over the years where Christians, and this is happening more in the last, I'm telling you right now, I've watched this in the last 10 years. I've seen this over and over and over again. Where people hear from God, they say, I'm going to follow God. Sometimes they'll even come to leaders in the church and we say, we bear witness, that's God. And as soon as it gets really, really difficult, okay, as soon as there are real challenges, and I'm going to lay out those challenges in a moment, you know what they start to do? They start to rewrite what God said. Do you know how many times I've had someone say, oh, God told me this, and then, you know, 6 months later when it gets tough, then they say, oh, no, actually what God really said was this. Okay. You know, it's like, Ba-bing. You know? And so we have to understand that this requires the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit. Because if you're not careful, you're redefining what dependence is. And what it really is independence. So this requires the deep searching of God. And I just want you to know, I was talking to the staff, I was like, I pray for myself and for my wife. Because nobody knows. I pray. We pray all the time. It's like, Lord, we want to really be surrendered. Okay, help me, God. You know, I was talking to someone, I was talking to them today. Like, look, I feel good. Like, siento, I feel strong, you know? But the truth of the matter is this is not my church. And one day God might say to me, I want you to work for the next guy. Right? He could say it next week. Next week, if it's not my church. You know? It's like, I'm the steward of the church. We steward this church, but it's not my church. Right? And so the truth of the matter is like, there will come a day in time. You know, I don't know when that day is. But I have to prepare for the day where God says, you know, step aside, work for him. Yes. I have to say yes. And you know, I regret saying that in public because somebody might remind me of that one day. But it's the truth. Who's in charge of your life? Who's really in charge of your life? Because I'm telling you right now, well let me keep going. I'm trying to preach everything all at once. Just get the points out. So let's talk about what dependence requires. What does it mean to have a dependent heart? And when the Lord is working in your heart, when you're reading the Bible and it's poking at certain things and making you uncomfortable, what's it trying to bring you to? It's trying to bring you to three things. Dependence requires surrender. Everybody say surrender.
Surrender.
Coachability. Everybody say coachability. And obedience. Come on, get it out.
Obedience.
Yes. Okay, surrender, coachability, obedience. Surrender means I give up. Surrender means I come under the authority of God. And not only do I come under the authority of the God of heaven, but I come under the authorities that God puts over me. Now's when you start messing with stuff. Right? Don't you tell me. Yes, somebody should tell you. You know, you've got to be willing to come under authority. And I want to say this to you. If you have authority issues, if every time you think about authority, if all you have are cynical thoughts about people in leadership, man, you need ministry from God, because I'm telling you right now, you will not rest if you keep a spirit of independence. So you're the victim of it. You know, something has happened. You know, when the church gets big, things change, right? So people have gotten into a habit, occasionally, this doesn't happen a lot. At our church, thank God, we've never really had a lot of these issues, but we have our rashes. Every church gets a rash of gossip, a rash of this, a rash of that. So some people, you know what they do? They take the prayer request cards and they write some nasty note and they put it in the offering basket. You know, and can I tell you something? What a chicken. You got something to say, come to the office. Yes, sir. We love you. Give us a chance to apologize. Give me an opportunity to say sorry to you if I did something wrong. Right? But be godly. Be a godly person. That's not godly. You think it's hurting us? No, it's hurting you. You're walking outside of the blessing of God with that kind of bitter spirit, vitriol, all of that junk inside of you. It breaks my heart for you. We have to understand the Lord loves us and we love you. You know, it's so funny because it just so happens that I got to witness Matthew 18. So it was recently a prayer meeting, finished prayer meeting. One of the pastors said, "Pastor, come into this office." And I just went in, and somebody was offended by one of the pastors, and they shared their piece. And the pastor said, "I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that. Well, you know, I didn't recognize that. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry." And then the person said, "You know what? I didn't realize this." And it was beautiful. And it was biblical. And it was handled like two real men of God. Give us men of God. Give us women of God around here. When I think about you, man, I don't want you to be like, nah, 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 kind of Christians. Come on, be strong. You know, it's not the kind of people we want to raise up. Let's live like the Bible says. You know, so look, if you've got authority issues and you're always looking for what's wrong with the leader, I'm telling you right now, you should look at for what's wrong with you. The Bible is clear about that. And if you don't, you won't come under authority. You don't come under authority, you're going to miss out on blessing. Yes. Coachability then becomes the whole place of where everyone, you know, I remember Pastor James preached a message here. Everybody needs a coach. Do you know that the Holy Spirit, all of the descriptions of the Holy Spirit, in part, coach is a more modern word, but in part, if you look at the composite of the different descriptions of the Holy Spirit, right, he is a coach. You know, everybody needs a coach. And if you can't be coached, if you can't be, you know, in on little things, on big things. You know how many times I'm going to walk out of the house on a Sunday, my wife is like, "You're going to wear that?" I'm like, "Tell me what to wear, honey." You know what I mean? That's like, it's what it is. So if I ever have a really bad outfit, I'm going to go. No. It's like little things. Can you be coached on little things? Godly people are coachable. Amen. Surrendered people are coachable. And then at the end of the day, the bottom line is, then there is obedience. Right? So some things are just, there's only one thing, just obey. Doesn't matter if it hurts. Doesn't matter if it's uncomfortable. Doesn't matter if you like it. Doesn't matter if you don't like it. Whatever God says, that's what it is. And woe to the person who says, but you don't understand. My situation is different. He's the king of the universe. He's been around. He's the Ancient of Days. You know what I'm saying? So I don't have to know exactly what the details are. If the Bible says it, should that not be enough? It's living and active. It's holy and true. It's the way, the truth, and the life. Somebody say amen to the word of God. Hallelujah. And so you just obey God and you just follow God. One last thing about this. So I've got this. Could you put that slide back up? Right. So look. Proverbs 18:1. Very, very important proverb. They all are, but you get what I mean. The Bible says, whoever isolates himself, seeks his own desire, he breaks out against all sound judgment. So I've watched this. You say something to somebody that they don't like. You've watched it. You tell them something that's good for them, but they don't like it. And you know what they do? They say, oh, I'm getting away from you. Right? Oh, that's toxic. Oh, they're toxic over there. They're not toxic. They're honest.
Yes. Come on, Pastor.
And when you're getting the honest truth about something, right, I'm telling you right now, don't isolate yourself. Don't isolate yourself. You know what the devil loves? The devil loves when we isolate ourselves. And people, they even run from churches like that. You know, they go to the next church. Then they go to the next church. Then they go to the next church. You know, look, for us, we rejoice when people come. We rejoice when people go. God never told me that he's going to hold me accountable for the attendance of this church. He's going to hold me accountable for the spiritual quality of the people in this church. So what can I do? You know? Like this is one of those days where you need to hear from the mind of the leader, from the heart of the leader, so that you could understand that I'm leaving that place because, you know, it's like one of the head usher said this to me. You know? Well, what if it was true? You know, you will know the truth and the truth will
set you free.
That's what the Bible says. And so beware of isolating yourself. You know, it's not the spirit of surrender. And so look, I want to put this image almost, we got to land this plane fast, but look. This is the way the kingdom of God works. So, he is the God who opens doors that no man can shut. All right? So you take surrender, coachability, and obedience, and guess what God does? He opens a door. And then, another crossroads moment comes. You get a heart that says, I surrender, teach me what to do, I obey. Guess what God does? He opens another door. You see? God doesn't play favorites. God honors those who honor him. And then the doors keep getting bigger. But I'm going to tell you, the demand for surrender, coachability, and obedience gets bigger too. And that's what you don't know. You look at people's lives and you see the blessing of God upon their life, but you don't know the surrender. You see? But I'm telling you this. Some people come in and they say, I deserve that open door. Says who? God is the one who opens doors that no man can shut. Promotion doesn't come from the north, the south, the east, or the west. Promotion comes from the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't matter what pastor promotes you, who puts you up, you could put yourself up. If it wasn't God, you ain't going nowhere. You know, it might matter to you, but it won't matter to eternity. I want to live a life, I want a life for you that will matter for eternity's sake. Right? So despite the weaknesses of the leaders here, come on. You know, it's like there's only one Jesus. You know, we want to be right. We want to be helpful. We want to be, but we can't be perfect. But that does not give you an excuse not to come under God. You're not under me, so to speak. I mean, yeah, but no. You know, I gotta go home and take out the garbage today. I took it out this morning. You know, it's like I gotta do what I have to do, just like you. You know, this is life. There is one Lord. There is one Father. There is one Spirit. There is one King of Kings. How many would say amen? We serve the King. We serve the King of Kings. Hallelujah. And no matter how gifted or powerful you are, it's up to you whether you will surrender, be coached, and obey. Okay. Now let me say this to you. And I feel this so deep. If they could send me a keyboard player. So I am convinced. You know, there's a huge leadership vacuum in the kingdom. Do you know the average age of a pastor in most, you know, kind of quote denominations is pushing around 60. And you know why? It's because young people have a hard time surrendering. Can I say that? Say, go ahead and preach it, preacher. Mm-hmm. It's too hard. It's too hard. You know? But I believe that there are people in this house who are called to great things for the kingdom of God. But it takes surrender. It takes coachability. It takes obedience. And look, I want to put this up for you, okay? So, Acts 16:3. Paul wanted to take him, who? Timothy, along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. You want to talk about surrender? If I could, it's in the Bible. Here, he's a grown man. And he says, you want to follow me? You got to get circumcised. So this guy submits himself to being cut in a very intimate place. Right? What can God cut from your life? What can he cut away? Because there are Timothys in this room. There are Timothys in this room. But take surrender. Watch this. He sent back this answer. Do not think because you, Esther, are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. I'm telling you right now, there are Esthers in this house. There are Esthers in this house. But you got to be willing to put your neck on the line. You have to surrender. He was like, oh yeah? You know what that? Look, this was surrender. This was a coachability moment. He was like, you got to go talk to the king. I ain't talking to the king. If I go talk to the king, he could chop my head off. Right? He says, yeah, he could chop your head off. But you've been placed there by God. Ladies, you recognize your obedience Your ability to be coached, it can make or break generations. We're talking major kingdom impact. Yes, Lord. I'm gonna do it. I want to have a bad day. No. Esther stepped into it. You know, men and women. Last one. When Cephas, who was Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. So Paul, who is, quote, in a way a Johnny come lately, comes out of nowhere. He didn't walk with Jesus for 3 years. Jesus appeared himself to him. Right? But in terms of those who claimed apostolic authority, Peter was the man. But even Peter, in the Galatian church, the Bible tells that Peter started getting off. Anybody could be off. Right? So what do you do when you get corrected? You just obey. You say, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm not going to do that anymore. I repent. It's like, you know, Paul. Could you imagine Peter going, you know, Paul, I really didn't like that tone that you used with me. Right? You know, you should have said it this way, Paul. It would have been way easier. Would you please? Let's humble ourselves. I know. I refuse not to dream about a big impact on the kingdom of God. I will dream it and I will believe it for you. But there, no one can surrender but you. No one can surrender but you. You're like, but you don't understand. I'm not educated. Would you please look at who he picked? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. The mind cannot conceive what God has in store for his people. So, last thing to be true to the text. When the word of God hits you two ways. Number one, it convicts you. Conviction means that you're cut to the quick and you're like, I can't believe that I have that sinful attitude. Or, Lord, I can't believe that I've sinned against you. Conviction is not condemnation. Conviction is the correction that comes from the Holy Spirit. And you're cut to the heart and you realize, man, I gotta change this. This is not right. It's like you're in the car and the light pops up on the dashboard. You know, you're out of gas or you need oil. And it's saying, deal with this. Okay, when the light comes on, it's not saying, I hate you. It's saying, deal with this. Repentance is real. And the more you get, look, the older you get in the Lord, you repent about even feelings. It's not just what you do, it's like even what you think. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. It's every day, all day. But you got to be convicted. You've got to allow yourself to be convicted. You know, do not accept the victim mentality of this world. It turns you into a weakling. Yes. No. Let a wise man rebuke me. It's like oil on my head. The Bible says. So there's like, you know, fast. couple weeks ago, guy came in, living with his girlfriend. I don't know who spoke, whatever. Came back like 2 weeks later, pulled one of the pastors aside. And this happens more than you know. Pulls one of the pastors aside and said, you know what? I got to get right with God right now. Would you marry us? Like, and we don't always do that. We ask questions. And we take people, sometimes they say, no, move out for a month. But this situation warranted. It's like, we got our marriage license, we're right here, was it? And you know what, Pastor Jose, it was so funny. Because Pastor Jose did a wedding right in his office, and the heater was on, because sometimes the heater doesn't work on that side. The heater is on. It wasn't a big cathedral. It wasn't this. You know, I think he had like a some kind of popcorn machine that he was trying to move someplace. And you know what? The wife didn't say, wait a second. No. Let's get right with God. We'll get married. We'll do the cathedral. We'll do all of that later. Let's get right with God. Come on, somebody say amen. Here's the second thing. The word of God will connect you. You know what repentance is? Repentance is all about reconnection. Because when you grieve God, when you get independent, you start to isolate yourself from God and separate yourself from God. But when you repent, He will always reconnect you with the Lord. How many want to reconnect with God? Amen. Yeah, we want to reconnect with the Lord. So I want to pray today. We're going to take communion. Let me just say this very quickly. If you're here, if you've never accepted Jesus, what we're about to do is we're about to take the symbol of the body and blood of Christ. We'll take it into our mouths physically. And it is a symbol of spiritually taking Jesus in. Okay, how do you become a Christian? You receive Jesus by His Spirit in your heart. He sits on the throne of your heart. That's how, when the Bible says born again, it means you invite Jesus in. Okay, so here's my question. And the Bible even teaches, don't take communion outwardly if you haven't done it spiritually. Have you taken Jesus in spiritually? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you're here and you've never accepted Jesus, but you felt it, you felt Him knocking, saying, I love you. I care for you. I died for you. I want to help you. I want to be with you forever and ever. Amen. If He's knocking on the door of your heart, today you're like, today is the day I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It's as simple as a prayer. Just raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Anybody here, you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Anyone else? Thank you. Hallelujah. Anyone else? We'll wait one more minute. If you're watching online, you can respond to online. Anyone else? You want to accept Jesus? Could I see your hand? I want to lead you in a quick prayer, and then we'll take communion. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, you know what? Just repeat after me. Lord Jesus. Thank you for knocking on the door of my heart today. I want to open it to you. I confess my need of you. I need a Savior. I need a Lord. Only your blood could pay for my sin. And I ask that you would wash me with it. Cleanse me from my sin and shame. And give me a new start with you. Come into my heart and sit on the throne of my heart and be my master and my Savior and my friend. Thank you for receiving me, even as I receive you. Amen and amen. Come on, let's praise God right now for everyone that had just accepted Jesus. Hallelujah. You raised your hand. I want to congratulate you. You belong to God. You should have gotten a gift. You are part of the family of God, and the angels of heaven are rejoicing over your decision. And you are a candidate to take communion with us because you're part of the family of God. Everyone stand to your feet. Those of you who accepted the Lord, fill out that card and give it to one of the ushers. The Bible says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Chrissy's going to pray over the body right now, the bread, which symbolizes the body of Christ. And this, brothers and sisters, is where we surrender in the same way that he sacrificed. So go ahead and lead us.
Let's take the bread in our hands. Get ready. Lord, we thank you for your body. We thank you for your beautiful body that you allowed to be broken for us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It was your first act of surrender that would take you to the cross, where we would receive your blood. But God, you let them take your body. And God, we thank you because you let them beat you instead of us and whip you and go through the unthinkable for our sin, God. And then, Lord Jesus, we think about the fact that then you called us your body. We are the body yes. of Christ. And God, we want to be a body, Lord, that's pure and holy before you, Lord. Oh, God, we want to be like your body, oh, God. We want to do what's uncomfortable. We want to do what is not our preference, Lord, just like you did, God. Make us the true body of Christ, yes. Lord. So thank you for showing us with your own body what it is to follow you. So we thank you. We remember what you endured for us. So we take this with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's take the bread together. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, the new contract written with the very blood of Christ. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We're proclaiming his death and resurrection. We're proclaiming his lordship in this very moment that Jesus is Lord of all. So, Father, we thank you. You not only offered your body, but you shed your blood to wash away our sin and our shame. To wash away, God, I pray, wash away independence today. Wash away the spirit of the world and the ways of the world. Make us humble and teachable and coachable. We surrender to you. Wash our sins, oh God. Everything that is not of you, just wash it away right now. We thank you that no one need leave here with shame. Because, Lord, you wash us clean. So we thank you. We receive you. We receive the work of the blood in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's take it together. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're going to go right now. But lift your hands for a moment. I don't want anyone else. I don't need anything else. You are my one thing. You are my one thing. I don't want anyone else. I don't need anything else. You are my one thing. You are my one thing. I don't want anyone else. I don't need anything else. You are my one thing. You are.
One more time, everyone.
I don't want anyone else. I don't need anything else. You are my one thing. You are my one thing.
Thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us under the blood. I pray for victory over rejection. I pray for victory over independence. May we walk in surrender of our Lord, to our Lord, oh God. Bless your people. May the days be filled with discovering more and more the perfect will of God. We thank you, we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Come on, let's clap to Jesus one time. Hallelujah. Love you so much. Have an amazing Lord's Day. Come on, greet one another before you go. We'll see you Tuesday.